It'll sneak up on you, JQ, man. It's sweet, but it'll sneak up on you.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yo, here we go now.
Let's go. Hump day.
Yeah. Our ratings should be good right now. Y'all have nothing else to do, people.
Oh, man.
Thanks for tuning in. We're going to make sure you keep tuning in, too.
Yep, we're going to be entertaining.
Are you not entertained? Again, welcome to another awesome Hump Day edition to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Yes, if you're keeping score, Corona, we're trying to win the battle, man. So it's all good. Again, we're having some fun with this. And as my co-host said, JQ, he's like, man, I can't wait to talk to you fellas, man, because, again, there's only so much talking to myself I can do, man. Hold up. I mean, you know, there's only so much you can do, man. So, again,
and a house full of women.
Obviously, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Poor guy,
poor JQ.
Hey, we're here for you. We're here for you. You're right, man. So, he's like,
we're praying for you, brother.
I take all of them.
But good news about technology is that you can reach out to other people. That's only good news where we are, too. But, again, let's get this party started, as we always like to do. On wrapping up the month of March is coming up quickly. So, Mr. JQ, right there at you. How you feeling, to you, bro? I love it. How you doing?
It's tough to be quarantined, to be up all day. But I kid, you know, this is one of those rare opportunities. They're gonna be old and grown before I know it. So I'm trying to, you know, take advantage of the time I can spend with them. It's a challenge, but you know, I love them to death. So I kid, America. You know, I am enjoying my time with my daughters as well. How you doing, man?
That's good, man. That's good to see, man. Yeah, obviously, you know, way to look at that perspective too, man. So, good deal. Other co-host, Mr. Rob Ford, how you feeling, season, bro?
Man, doing great. You know, the saying, JQ, is you kid because you care, right? Yeah. So
absolutely.
Totally get it. Yep. Everything's good. You know, America, we still practicing our social distance. You know, we calling in tonight from Charlotte, Atlanta, Houston, and Portland. So we all over the map.
Right.
That's right.
To the fullest. Curtis and Gary, how y'all feel in the city?
Hey, we're here. We're ready to do our thing, you know. Like you guys said earlier, you know, we should have some really good ratings this week. We're hoping. We're crossing our fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be a little distraction from the hard stuff.
Yeah. Just don't get fired in day off, man. So let's have some fun here. So again, let's have some fun here. We are ready to talk some sports. The number two always call
with the
into the show. Oh man, the number to always call into the show is 424-243-9519. That's the number. 424-243-9519. Maybe we'll get a Naj sighting. I think I talked about that earlier. So he'll magically appear. Finally, follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMEN Sports. Shout out to my man Rob with the posting the mock draft again, 4 rounds. We've been going through a lot of trades, a lot of free agency talk, so we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, five rounds.
My bad. I actually, you just updated it.
Give me my credit where credit is due.
So again, we're not going to shortchange Rob apparently, because apparently Rob has got sickness. He's trying to get out of that, man. So make sure we don't forget him. So don't forget to check out Rob's 5 round mock draft. Go to the Facebook page at 12th Man Sports and you'll find that as well. So,
America, that
ado,
just means I didn't have much to do over the last week.
Yeah, you were in the hotel room typing
there
up a storm.
Is. I was able to do a lot of studying.
I was on fire, man. I love it, man. Poor, he's quarantined himself, man. That's what happens. He's going to come out like the there's show called Pretender. The guy was just like on fire, so he comes out. Anyway, so let's get this party started here. We're going to talk some NFL. A lot of free agency movement happened. And I'm going to kick it off with the West Coast here because I know how much Curtis loves talking about Tom Brady. So I guess we're going to ask you guys on the West Coast, what is your prediction for the Buccaneers with Tom Brady this season? So go ahead.
Tom Brady's got them pumped up down there. You guys see the ticket sales?
Yeah.
How division. And Tom probably is not going to be playing. You know, like I said, and I say it in a joke, he's telling the Patriots he's going to be at the Super Bowl. And I say that even if that team doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, guess where the Super Bowl is? They'll be there. Tom will be there. So Tom said, goodbye, Patriots. I'll see you guys at the Super Bowl, but I don't think you guys will make it. So that's a problem. But they're gonna compete. They're gonna be in the hunt for that division. They're gonna be in the hunt for that division. The over and under, you're gonna have to look at that. It might be at 9 games, it might be at 10 games. That's where your bet's gonna be. Trying to think what they can do. But they're, you know, what is Atlanta gonna do? How are they gonna look? What is New Orleans going to do? How are they going to look?
Win a division.
And, that's not a
don't
guarantee.
Him.
That's not a guarantee. Tom's looking at, you know, wait a minute, old man. I'm the number one old man here. So you might have to move over, Drew.
They'll be the main thing. It's crazy.
They will be better with Tom Brady there, even at his age, than the 30-30 guy. You know, he'll probably get 30 touchdowns, but he's not going to throw 30 picks. So they'll be better. I don't know how much better. Maybe they could be a playoff team, possibly. We'll see how it goes.
I think they got a shot to go about 10-6 and come in second place in the division. And, I mean, when you look at it,
right
I think that's a good point.
Right yeah.
I mean, you make a great point about Jameis Winston, the 30-30 guy. I mean, you know, do I think Tom Brady's as good as he was 3-4 years ago? No, I don't. But will he be better than Jameson? Absolutely. And even if he just doesn't turn over the ball, he'll definitely be better. And then the weapons he has on the perimeter. I mean, you look at the tight ends he has, and O.J. Howard and Cam Brate, and then when you look at Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and I firmly believe Ronald Jones, you started to see some improvement in his game as far as running the football and even catching the ball out of the backfield. I like for them to get her back in this draft. I mean, I don't want them to because they're in my division, but if they get another back to rotate with Ronald Jones, to have that flexibility, and then you saw their defense starting to improve too. So I think they got a real solid chance of being a wild card team and going 10-6 this upcoming season.
Yeah, I was vacillating between 9-7 and 10-6. And you talk about that, you see them tag Shaquille Barry, you see them re-signing Dominic Sue to another year, and there's still scuttlebutt out there. If AB ever gets his stuff straightened out, he's gonna get suspended for some games. But he said he would sign with Tampa in a heartbeat now that they've got Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's wanted him. He wanted him in New England before it went south. So that specter is still on the horizon. I don't know if that's going to happen, but like you just said, not to repeat all those names, but he's loaded on offense, and they're doing on defense too, resigning the key people they need as well. JPP, they resigned to a 2-year deal as well. So they're trying to keep it together in Tampa, but I still think that runs through New Orleans. Come on, man. And you give them Emmanuel Sanders to come out the slides. Lord have mercy. If they mess around and get a wide receiver in this draft, that's halfway decent to go on the outside. So the Emmanuel Sanders can play the slot, and Michael Thomas on the other outside, and Kamara is the Kamara we think he can be. I think the Saints still win that division, but I still think Tampa Bay makes the playoffs.
It's very interesting to say the least because, just to kind of put a bow on this, I'm going to go a different direction because we're going to talk about coaching here. This is going to be very interesting to see how Tom Brady would do without Bill Belichick. Probably one of the greatest coaches, you know, right now. Not that I'm freaking on his job, just, you know, just looking at what he's been able to accomplish. So this is big. This is going to be able to see how he's able to you know, obviously interact without Bill Belichick. And the same thing. So we're going to move to the next topic, I guess, the prediction for the Patriots. But I'm saying it's going to be huge for Tom to see how he can literally do without having Bill Belichick. And coaching does win a ton of games. Obviously, you know, that's something great. You can't underestimate the value of a great coach. So we'll see how Tom does live with his life without Bill Belichick. Speaking of that, so will the Patriots not miss the beat? It's kind of weird to say that without Tom Brady. You know, scuttlebutt, they signed Brian Hoyer, I think he's quarterback. So I don't know what they're thinking about, if they have some, they're going to surprise us all, wait for somebody gets cut. So what's your predictions for the Patriots, Rob?
I'm going to go 9-7 for the Patriots. And I'm going to say they just missed the playoffs this coming year. I think they'll be a competitive football team. Belichick would have them competitive just from a coaching standpoint. I think they'll have a winning record, but just missed the playoffs with a 9-7 record. And there's a couple of things to me. I think defensively they will keep them in a lot of games. But when you look at the offense there, their offensive line is still not up to par. They don't have weapons on the perimeter, and they don't have a quarterback right now. And I don't believe their starting quarterback is on their roster. I still think they're either going to get somebody in the draft or they're going to acquire someone in free agency or via trade. So when you look at that, I think their defense will keep them in a lot of games and keep them competitive, and Belichick will find ways to win some games, just like he did with Matt Castle the year Brady missed the whole season and they went 11-5. But I don't think they'll be 11-5, that's for sure. I'm thinking 9-7. Well, like I said, when you look at their offensive line, they still got some guys that starting that was cut off of some other teams. And then, like I said, they just don't have the weapons on the perimeter, and they still don't have a quarterback.
You know, that's amazing that you would still give them 9-7, because that was any other team not named New England, you would probably say they were going to be about 6-10.
Would, but it's the Belichick factor.
Yeah, so I'm going to split the difference. Go ahead.
He's going to have them competing on defense and special teams, and that's going to give them some wins that they probably shouldn't get.
Maybe, but I look at that also the losses. They lost, you know, like 5 or 6 They lost, you know, one of the best linebackers to Miami. So they've got some losses they've accumulated on the defensive side of the ball, too. This is going to be one of his toughest or maybe his best coaching job. Yeah, depending on how it turns out. I go 8-8, 7-9. For the Patriots, I'm with you. I don't know if the quarterback is on. That's going to be the starting quarterback is on the team, because if you wanted Cam Newton per se, you wouldn't have went out and signed Brian Hoyer. You could have waited to see what the Texans were going to do with Newton and got him for free. You signed Hoyer in front of him, so that leads me to believe that Cam Newton is not going to New England. And I know they're high on Jarrett Stidham, but you know, don't you have to bring a veteran and not named Brian Hoyer, somebody that can actually push him and give him a real run for his money to be the starting quarterback? So I'm with you. I don't think that dude exists on the roster, but do you go get another young guy? Because Jarrett Stidham is still a young guy, and you get Brian Hoyer, who you definitely don't want to have to play because he's a poor man's Ryan Fitzpatrick, a very poor man's Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I can't give him a great record based off of all those things. I know Belichick is Belichick, but you still got to have some talent, you know, to win games outside of your coaching talent. You got to have dudes on the field that can make it happen and implement those game plans. And I think they're going to come up a little short this season with what they have right now.
Yeah, and the Cam Newton situation is interesting. Right now with the coronavirus situation, I think teams want to see him and have their own doctors look at him. So I would be shocked if somebody Cam Newton while the country's on lockdown. I think we got to wait till things open back up. Teams can do visits, bring players in. I think these teams are going to want to have some medical checkouts on them personally before they make a decision on a Cam Newton. And New England may very well be interested in Newton. And the Chargers may be interested in him. Even the Bears still may be interested in him, even though they just traded for Nick Foles. So, but I think these teams are going to want to see him personally before they make that decision and have their own doctors to look at him as well. And that's why you have several GMs right now begging the NFL to push the draft back, because these teams don't want to draft players that they can't bring in for visits and interview them and get to know them a little more, work them out, take physicals, and all of those kind of things like that. So right now a lot of GMs are very concerned, and they're really begging Hitler to push the draft back.
So let me report fast where you go, West Coast. My thing is this, to your point about Cam, to a lesser extent, but if you know, even very valid points about the virus, but if you know Carolina is getting ready to get rid of him, or you can be, he can be had for a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, if you really wanted to have Cam Newton, why would you go through the Nick Foles trade? Why would you sign Brian Hoyer? Nobody's rushing down Brian Hoyer's door to sign him where you got to beat somebody to Brian freaking Hoyer. You can get him in a month. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my only point is if you really wanted Cam and this is happening, I think you could have waited. You don't make those other deals. You could have waited, given the fact that I think everybody knew that the writing was on the wall that relationship was over in Carolina.
Yeah. Go ahead, West Coast.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll say on this. With you know, if Brian Hoyer is not going to be the answer in New England, and Bill Belichick is a 500 coach without Tom Brady in his coaching career, and that's what he's going to fall back to, or less. I think 7-9 is a very generous record for New England. And if I were Bill Belichick, I'd retire and save my legacy before everybody realizes he's a 500 coach without Tom Brady.
That must be all the stuff.
My
what?
Take is they may be, New England may be tanking. They may be looking down the road. They may be looking at those two guys coming out next year.
Sunshine.
Justin Fields and that guy down there at Clemson. Yeah,
Trevor
Lawrence.
Yeah, they may be tanking for sunshine. You're right.
Yeah,
that is not in Bill Belichick's DNA.
That's what I'm going to be looking at in New England this year. They may steal the sub team, but Bill Belichick's going to coach them the best he can. Right now, everybody's saying that's Buffalo's division to lose. So if they don't stumble and fall, if they can stay focused in Buffalo, they should win that division. And the other two teams in that division are looking to improve. And you know, Florence down there in Miami, he kind of got New England's number. And I'm sure he would love to beat them twice this year. That would be up his alley. So
hey,
yeah, they may be quietly tanking. Cam Newton,
yeah.
I agree with JQ. I think this league may have passed him by. And if they can't get a physical on him, I'm not sure anybody wants him.
And y'all know Belichick going to be coming out with a press conference tomorrow. We'll be ready. Guarantee your team will be ready to play.
Yeah.
We're going to be competitive.
Yeah, it's just interesting that he's not, you know, doesn't seem interested in the quarterbacks that are out there right now and to sign Hoyer. It's like, do they have that much confidence in Stidham? Like, is he, good Lord, okay, Copter? Do they think he's Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, that, you know, like, you don't get that kind of buzz out of New England like you did when they had Garoppolo. But do they feel that way about Stidham? Because it seems like they're really just standing pat, right? Like,
well, they're not going to make a rash decision on anybody. That's just not there. That's just not who it is. Just like you said, DNA. The Patriots are not. Bill Belichick is, I guarantee you, he's not sitting back panicking right now at all. They're going to wait until they can make the right decision. Brian Hoyer is obviously somebody they're familiar with. That's the only reason they're bringing him in there. He's been in their system. They know him. He knows them. And, you know, he's just a stopgap, obviously, you know, either to help Stidham. But they're not going to make a rash decision here. Like I said, they're going to need to find somebody in this draft, whether that's Jordan Love, whether that's Jacob Eason, somewhere out along those lines. Or are they going to try to go out and make a trade or get someone in free agency? But they're not going to – I don't think he's panicking, and they're not going to make a rash decision, and they're not going to try to force themselves and just assigning anybody, just assign anybody.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say they would do that. No, I wasn't trying to make that
point. Well, they just did.
But he's somebody they're familiar with. But I don't think they're signing – if you're signing a quarterback to a one-year, $1.05 million contract, you're not signing him to be your starting quarterback. You're signing him to have him in the building to help another quarterback out.
No, that's, I mean, that's
what if
true.
Like,
I guess I'm going to put there to available
what
name.
If Phil's, like, doing the same thing to us? What if he's, like, you know, tricking us, like, he's, like, got a plan. Like, he's, like, yo, I'm going to, like, audition him like, you know, audition all my other quarterbacks. Like, he's, like, going to sit there and make, you know, use that as trade bait or something like that. What if he does something like that? You know, that's what I'm talking about. Wouldn't that be amazing? He's, like, guess what, guys? I'm smarter than all you guys. And then next thing you know, he's, like, one of the – he gets, like, a great quarterback, you know, and he tries to, like, utilize him like Garoppolo. He's, like, trade bait. And he's, like, yo, guess what, guys? Look how awesome this guy is. And then, you know, what if he does something like that, something crazy? Like you said, he will not be denied. He's going to fool us all. Like, I'm smarter than all you guys. I'm going to make Brian Hoyer or Jason Sidney look, like, amazing, and I'm going to trade it for a first-round pick or something crazy like that. He'd get the last laugh.
Yeah, I guess my only thing about it when I was talking about some of the – he might still do it. You're right, Rob. He might still do it. Is that if he doesn't, he does get a Jordan Love. Now your quarterback room is Hoyer, Jordan Love, and Stidham, and two of those guys are super young. So, I mean, are you putting them kind of like a RG3 Kirk Cousins race to see who's going to be, to your point, Dre, and then you trade one or, you know, figure out who's going to be the man, let the other one go? Like, I it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll stop talking about the Patriots. I know that some of y'all just love that, too. So let's talk about let's talk about Dak Prescott. You know, what's your thoughts on this, Curtis and Gary? What's your thoughts about him? Do they have an issue with Dak, if you will? Cowboys?
Well, I don't think they necessarily have an issue with Dak. I think they have – I don't know what Dak – really, I don't think anybody knows what Dak Prescott is really asking for. Everybody's just assuming he – tell us, maybe he's asking for $40 million a year. I mean, it could be. I don't know, but – if that's the case, of course, the answer is no. We'll just franchise tag you. But you know, they had other issues that they had to take care of. You know, they were able to sign Amari Cooper. You know,
yes,
they brought in some talent. So with Dak itself, the deal with Dak itself to get back on track is they still have an opportunity to sign him to a long term deal. What do they have to like? Mid-July or something. So,
Yep. But
it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted a longer-term deal than what Dak Prescott wanted. They're willing to gamble with that. It may bite him in the butt, and it costs him even more money if he has a great year. But I think they're willing to take that chance and go ahead and franchise tag him so that they get him for that length of time that they want it. I think that that's what they're – Jerry called me up and he told me that today. Jerry, what do you think? And I said, I think you should franchise tag him. That way you get him you keep him in there for that length of time. First, what do you got?
Jerry Jones calling Gary. I love
it. I think Jerry's thinking like I think. How did you guys only score 10 points against the New Orleans Saints? Where was the offense back against the New Orleans Saints? And they don't have the defense that should have kept somebody that's supposed to be a good quarterback to 10 points. So I'm mad at that. Can't explain the Jets thing. I'm Jerry. How do you expect the Jets thing? Holy smoky, boy. And the worst thing is, right now, there's nothing that tells me you're better than what that Carson Wentz. What have you done for me lately, Dak? You haven't beat Carson Wentz with deck chairs and people off the street. Dak, whatever you want, we don't got it. Just like they told Tom Brady, if you want $30 million, you better go find that somewhere else. Because you're not going to get $30 million here.
And hey, he went home to Louisiana and ate too much gumbo, man. It hurt his performance.
But, you know, I honestly think this is, and I'm hoping this is the case. I hope this new coach is telling Jerry, I'm running things and I don't believe in Zach. So Zach's got to show me.
Well,
I think this new coach might have a lot to do with that.
No, this is just one of those tricky deals. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Dak Prescott is signed here in the next month. Just, you know, I don't have no evidence of that. It's just a gut feeling. You know, I just think this is one of those tricky deals that, you know, Dak has a price, Jerry has a price. They're probably going to find a way to meet somewhere in the middle, and they're going to get the job done. And do I think, you know, Dak is an elite quarterback? No, I don't believe that yet. I really don't either, but, you know, it's hard to find. I mean, it's still going to be hard for Dallas to find somebody better, right? I mean, they're picking 17th mm-hmm. in the draft. They're not going to find anybody better than him at that point in the draft. And the thing you got to remember, Tampa Bay letting Jameis Winston leave for a reason. Carolina's letting Cam Newton leave for a reason. So, New England, as much as you want to say, they're letting Tom Brady leave for a reason. Colts letting Phillip Rivers leave for a reason. These guys are free agents for a reason because the teams didn't want them anymore. They're not fully confident in them to take them to the next level. You got to think about that. Rarely do you find a real, real strong impact free agent that's going to come in there and change your organization. And so when you look at this, they realize that Dak is their best available option out there. He's younger than a lot of those guys. He's better than a lot of those guys now. Is he an elite quarterback yet? No, he's not. But he's still better than what the options are available to the Cowboys.
Wow. I look at it like this. I think you say the question, should it be franchised and worthy of it? I say, yeah. I mean, as much as I have railed against the Goff and Wentz deals, but those deals are still out there. You don't have to make a worse deal than that. But you kind of have to keep him somewhere in the ballpark, right? So the $33 million, I think it is, right, for the franchise as the quarterback is probably about what they've been offering. If I'm reading the tea leaves, that's why they have no problem with going into the franchise tag. It wasn't like they was at 25 and he was at 40 and they just aren't even in the same room. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like they were like, you know what, 32, 33, 34. So if we can't get the length of number of years that Gary talked and we can't get him necessarily off, we give him more years and give him a little bit more money, but he's balking at the years, then okay, we'll do this 1 year for 33 because – if we gave him a 3 or 4 year deal, we would probably want it to average about $33 million a year. So you're not really killing your balance sheet about honestly, if you're Jerry Jones, what you were going to be paying him anyway, if he put pen to paper, it was going to be in that ballpark anyway. So they may have to go the Kirk Cousins route with him where he wants a certain thing and they just keep staring each other down. But in that case, you got another year of franchise coming because that's what they did with Kirk. They did 2 years in a row. So then they got to that third year, and that number was so ridiculous. Then rubber met road, and it's either we have to sign you to a deal now or we got to let you walk away. If Dak does what he says he's going to do, then it will take care of itself because then I don't have a problem if you're taking me to a Super Bowl or deep in the playoffs these 2 years. I don't have a problem moving my number up from 33 to probably 35 or 36. But for right now, you know, to Kirsten's point, these losses we get and not making the playoffs and whatnot, right now 33 is about where you are. Please prove to me that you can move this number up, because if you move this number up, more than likely, it's because you've done well on the field, and I feel much better about giving you that number.
Yeah, but I totally agree, though. He definitely I think the Cowboys did the right thing by franchising him, because once again, who are you going to find that's better? Who mm-hmm. are you going to get this better right now in free agency or the draft? You don't have the number one pick. You don't have a top five pick. You don't have a top six pick. Who are you going to get this better? I know there's some teams that are willing to take a chance on Jordan Love, because there's some teams that think he's a project, but there's some teams that think he could be the next Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. So, you know, he's 50-50, I guess, just like any other draft pick. But – you know, I mean, and there's no guarantee that he'll even be available to you at 17. In my latest mock draft, if you had a chance to check it out, I got Jordan Love going to Jacksonville at number 9, because, you know, you can't just go in there with the mustache dude next year.
They love that dude, though. They love that dude, Jacksonville. They love him. They all in.
Minshew's awesome, man. He's like a folk hero, man.
I hear what you're saying, but they love that dude in Jacksonville. They love him.
Folk hero, bro.
They like the mustache. I don't know if they love him.
They love him, dog.
Folk hero, man.
They do.
Folk hero.
They only went back to Foles because they gave him all that money and he was healthy, so they had to, unless you admit that it's a mistake to give Foles that money. They only put Foles back in because they had to.
I want you to put your GM hat on to Jacksonville. Are you comfortable going in there with the mustache dude as your only quarterback next year?
No.
Put on your GM hat.
Let me –
No.
I said no, but my caveat is I wouldn't necessarily want to get another younger guy to be in there with him. I would like to get a vet, somebody that can push him, learn the ropes, and see if he is. And then if not, then I throw my hat back in the ring. But I don't know about having two young guys that neither one of them know a whole lot trying to learn from each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what I would want to do if I was the GM in Jacksonville. That's why I say it that way. Not that I'm necessarily comfortable just going with him, but I would be trying to find somebody. Hell, maybe Jacksonville looks at Cam Newton and says, a guy like that, because it's meant you starts to falter and Cam is looking healthy and looking a little bit like his old self. Now you got Cam in the building. You gave up no draft picks to get him. You probably can sign him to a pretty decent contract, probably half of what you gave Foles last year at this point on a 1 or 2 year prove it deal. That's what I would be looking to do if I was Jacksonville, if I'm being honest, if I'm their GM sitting at night. Maybe another weapon or pieces on defense, since you just lost Calais Campbell and you lost Fox Fowler and Ramsey. I'd probably be looking defense if it was if they were there.
Yeah. Now, Cam could be intriguing to Jacksonville. That's a good point. But I guarantee you, though, they will not – nobody's going to touch Cam until they can physically have one of their own team doctors to clear him.
Yeah.
They're not going to rely on these doctors, whoever checked them out in Atlanta. These teams going to want their own team doctors to
come
check
on.
Them out.
Come on, man. Come on,
what
man.
What you mean?
Take a shot.
Come on, what?
Man, Foley's a doctor. He passed since he was 15.
Yeah, that's the dude, man. Come on. All right, so speaking of quarterbacks, will Cam Newton and where will we're going to leave this, let this go. Where will Jameis Winston go? You've heard some rumors about Jameis and the Steelers as a kind of a good fit. So he, obviously, he didn't have to, a lot of pressure. He kind of sit behind Ben Roethlisberger. And then, some intriguing stuff, too, about what you just said, JQ, about, possibly, Cam in Jacksonville. Maybe, Chargers. I mean, I don't know. They got Tyrod. But, what are some options do you guys think about some interesting spots for these quarterbacks?
I think you just nailed the ones I would say. I think Jameis going to Pittsburgh, you think about that class with being in there with Eli, now retired. Phillip Rivers looking like he should retire, but we can see if he's getting rejuvenated in Indianapolis. And then you got Ben all in that same draft class, right? So if you're Jameis, you got to look at yourself hard in the mirror and say, I'm not starting nowhere this year. Where's my next place to a good path of starting? The Chargers probably drafting a quarterback because Tyrod ain't young no more. You look at Pittsburgh and you say, he's getting up there. He might have a couple years left because he was talking about retiring before he had the Tommy John surgery. So if he comes back and doesn't feel right, does he just play another year or two? Now, if you're Jameis, you get a chance, hit the reset button, go play for Mike Tomlin. Not a bad landing spot. And I'm with you on Jacksonville with Cam. And you too, Rob. You got to get some kind of veteran backup presence, I think, from Minshew in Jacksonville. I don't think it's going to be Jameis. Jameis has just killed himself with those 30 picks this past year. but if you get a Cam and you get a chance to look and get a look at him, you're right, with your own doctor and you feel somewhat comfortable about it, and you say, you know what, even if he ain't all the way there yet, but we see he's turning the corner, we can still get him because we want to believe in Minshew anyway. But if he falters or shows us he ain't that guy, now we got Cam on the man closer to 100%. Let's see what we got in this, and it might work out for them for another 5, 6, 7 years. So for me, Jameis in Pittsburgh, Cam in Jacksonville.
Rob? Yeah, those are some really good scenarios. I agree with you. I don't think Cam is going to go to the Chargers because I think where the Chargers are sitting in this draft, they're going to take their shot at one of these quarterbacks in the draft and to go with that young quarterback and Tyrod Taylor. So that's real intriguing what you say about Cam. And I agree with you about Jameis. I got one sleeper, though, for Jameis Winston. I definitely think Pittsburgh is going to be in the running for Jameis Winston. But one sleeper for Jameis, the New Orleans Saints. Watch the Saints on Jameis Winston. Taysom Hill, the Saints likes to play him all over the place. And Sean Payton is going to want to have another quarterback on the roster. He feels safer. Playing Taysom Hill at wide receiver, tight end, / special teams, if he's got another quarterback on the roster. If you guys paid attention last year, when Drew Brees got hurt, they didn't use Taysom Hill in that role that much because he was the backup quarterback. So they scaled him back. So Sean Payton likes to have another quarterback on the roster so he can use Taysom Hill in that role. And the Saints' philosophy is they like to go into the draft with most of their needs already picked. They don't like to go on the drafting for needs. And so there's some talk about Saints and Jameis Winston, too. I mean, I don't know if they'll beat out Pittsburgh, But I do know there could possibly be some interest to have a veteran quarterback to kind of bridge that gap with Breeze and Taysom Hill.
And an older quarterback and a good head coach, you know, you substitute Roethlisberger and Tomlin for Breeze and Peyton. I mean, that's a good point. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right, West Coast.
I can't see that at all. I can see it. How about that, Rob? I can't love it at all.
You can't see what at all. None of the scenarios that were laid out.
For either one. But I would take either one of those guys over our backup, Cooper Rush, any day of the week.
Who is he?
That's right. Cooper Rush is your backup quarterback? Wow.
Yeah.
So
who
I
is
would
it?
Take.
Yeah, wow.
Wait, who was the backup
Cooper
quarterback
Rush
for the Cowboys?
That's crazy. Only a true Cowboys fan would know that. That's crazy.
Wait, what's his name? I don't even know if I've ever heard of him. I'm not trying to be facetious, but who is it again?
Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
Where did he go to college?
I don't even know where the hell he's from.
He's probably from Boise State.
No, he's not from Boise State.
Hey, somebody looked at one of our listeners. Call in and tell us where Cooper Rush is from. I never heard of the dude.
I'm looking him up. Central Michigan.
Central Michigan, okay.
So,
J.Q., you should have knew that. That's your favorite state.
One of those guys.
Oh,
so
get the hell out of here.
I heard from Jerry that he was looking at Jameis Winston and
Drama Boy.
Yeah.
I think our team was Drama Boy.
I'd take either one of those guys over Cooper Rush, though.
Actually, a lot of people are saying that there's not enough quarterbacks. You know, there's too many quarterbacks for the teams that are in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
the rarity.
That's true.
And what's scary, don't see those guys not being on a team that, boy, I wouldn't be surprised if both those guys weren't on the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Go ahead, JK.
I disagree with that statement in the fact that this, I think there are GMs that believe they have a quarterback on a team that's supposed to be better than those guys, and they don't need a quarterback. And I argue a few of them are wrong. That's why I say you can put those two dudes on a couple of those teams and be like, okay, yeah, he's a better quarterback than what you have. You're tripping. You know, I'm not a Jared Goff fan for one. There are some places I think it's like I'm just saying that you can look and say, I think I could still make a case for this dude over him. But if I'm those two dudes, you're looking at Dak like we're looking at, like they're going to reach a long term deal at some point, at least over the next couple of years. Dak is still going to be the quarterback by the franchise tag. So with a young Dak in Dallas, if you're Jameis or Cam, do you want to go to Dallas and sit knowing you have no shot probably because you know he's still young, he signs a long term deal. Now you got to find another team. With Pittsburgh and New Orleans, you've got good head coaches for one, but you got older quarterbacks in their 40s, and you can start really putting the clock on them. Like, yeah, you know, just Father Time is undefeated. They're going to be gone, where Dak is still young enough to be around for a while.
That's true.
So what do the Bengals do with Andy Dalton? Are they trading him, going to release him, going
to
keep him?
They're going to have to release him. They talk about keeping him, but – maybe you keep him for 1 year. Maybe Andy is okay with that. He understands that the Bengals is not starting for them. But what we just talked about, you know, all his seats at the, you know, the musical chairs got filled up. Chicago gets Foles. You know, New England is not trying to trade for him at this point. They want to sign Hoyer for that kind of role. You know, Jacksonville hasn't really called. Jacksonville has been a part. Has been a now been one of the options in the rumors, but you don't know. So it depends on how he handles it. If he's in there not, you know, bucking the system and is like, no, let me go, they may have to just let him go like Cam with Carolina, even though he's not hurt. But if he's okay with, you know, I'm going to play this last year out, and then I can just do what I want because you ain't going to franchise me anyway, and then maybe this young dude struggles or gets hurt and I get to play. You know what I mean? So I can see them keeping him, but I don't think anybody's going to give up any capital because they're going to look and say, yeah, they got Joe Burrow. I trade for him when they're going to have to cut him, you know, especially when you got to get your rosters down to training camp and maybe even before then. I wouldn't trade for him if I was anybody, and that's just me. I would just wait for the Bengals to have to cut him.
You know, if we were having this conversation 6 months ago and I had to pick a quarterback that wouldn't be in the league, it probably would have been Brian Hoyer, I have to admit.
Wow.
Right.
Even
that's true.
All
Jared, that's
guys
good.
Been talking
that's
about.
True.
Yeah. I'm thinking I would have picked
right.
Brian Hoyer.
Right.
But here
wow.
he was, and I
was.
If you look at what backup crazy. Quarterbacks in the NFL are getting paid and what New England paid Brian Hoyer, I don't think New England believes he's going to be in the league either.
Wow.
And that might be why Andy's like, you know what, I'm cool. I might just collect the $16 million right now because, again, if they get cut and he goes somewhere, is he going to get paid $16 million a year, right?
No.
So he might sit back and say, I'm just going to get you. Exactly. So he might sit back and say, you know what, I'm straight. Y'all got me. Okay, I'm going to just ride this year out, hold this clipboard, get this 10.5 after I pay these Ohio taxes and whatnot, and then I'm going to move on.
I mean,
yeah.
The Saints paid Teddy Bridgewater $8 to $9 million last year as a backup, and the Patriots signed Brian Hoyer for 1 year, $1.05
million. Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow. That's why he's still
all right.
in the league. He had to take that. He wouldn't still be in the league.
Wow, I love it. All right, so we're going to let
Cooper Rush probably getting paid quickly. More than that as a backup quarterback.
That's a good statement, too. Robin's found out who the backup quarterback is for the Cowboys, and he's all excited. Hey, but
I really didn't know that, too, so thanks, Gary and Curtis.
Yeah, that's great. We're gonna let them finish up, and then we're going to let Robbie do your mock draft. So really quickly, we're going to ask Curtis and Gary about how does the Travis – Frederick retirement impact the Cowboys. You guys okay? Did Jerry Jones call you, Gary, again to ask about this, or what happened about that? What's up?
Yeah, we talked about it. You know, with it, he was a great player. He was one of those guys that when it wasn't popular to take offensive linemen in the first round, and the Cowboys said, we're going to beef up our O-line, and we're going to take first-round picks to do it, and made that kind of a thing. He was one of those guys that they selected, a guy out of Wisconsin, been in the league for 6 years, you know, Pro Bowl player, 5 years. But they brought in a guy a couple of years ago, Loomy is his name.
Connor McGovern last year in the third round. Yeah, I think he's the guy they're probably looking at replacing him.
Well, Loomy is the one that will replace him. Loomy will replace him at center. So we'll see how that goes. He replaced him, when he was out with his disease. And, you know, this guy's 29 years old, and he's making a really good life decision for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I look at it as, you know, so many of these football players, they play and basketball players, you know, they play until they just either can't walk or they've had so many concussions and they go from young to being disabled.
Yeah, they don't.
You know,
yeah.
So this guy has had a situation where he's, obviously, he's been, you know, he's a smart guy, and he's making a great, you know, lifelong decision for himself. He'll always be a Cowboy, and I wish him the best. So that's all I have to say on it is that, we'll move on. We won't be as strong in there because he was dominating, but I think we'll be okay going forward.
Well, yeah, the Cowboys right now, and man, boy. And I think they're looking at this draft, and I think they're looking at because of how much money Jerry's paying out, they're looking at the best people they can get on their team for the lowest amount of money they can go, especially on that defense. But for Dak's going to have to dominate, and we need Ezekiel Elliott being the best rusher in the league. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Cowboys need Ezekiel Elliott. Don't talk about Henry anymore. Don't talk about Gardley anymore. Don't talk about none of them. The best
back in the league needs to be Ezekiel Elliott. Period.
So it sounds like y'all wishing for two things. For Dak Prescott to beat the Jets, and Zeke Elliott to be the best running back in the league.
it's one of those things that, why not? Yeah, oh, why not?
Yeah. Why not, huh? Why not?
Why not?
Zeke's got to be there. Okay, all right. It's all good. Nah, is that you, bro?
No, I'm just coming in. What's going on, y'all?
Yeah, that's all
What's
good.
Up, man?
Finish your thought. Finish your thought, Gary. Go ahead, man.
Well, I think that we'll be fine on our offensive line. It's a big loss, but I think we'll be okay on that. I would like to hear Naj's thoughts on the Cowboys' offensive line.
Oh, coming in hot.
Yeah, I'll come in hot, but no hate, though. It's not the dominant, you know, force that it was a few years ago where they were just beating people up. But, I mean, it's adequate, and they should add a piece to it in the draft, a piece or two. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I'm not sure, like, Zeke's problems last year were O-line related. He didn't look as fast as he normally does. And I don't think they used him enough in the passing game. So hopefully they change that. You know, back to 2 years ago with Zeke. And to me, everything flows from there. I think Dak plays better. Those deep options become more viable. And, you know, they're really a threat at that point. But I don't think they should, hey, just because this is a new league, we've got to throw it 50 times and we're deciding to throw it first. No, I think you need to treat Zeke like he's an all-pro caliber back. So we'll see, man.
Nice.
Yeah, when you look at that offensive line, you know, I mentioned Connor McGovern. They got him in the third round. I know the Cowboys are really high on him. He can play center and guard as well in last year's draft. And you know, Connor McGovern, they got him in the third round. You know, a lot of experts, so-called experts, thought he had a second-round grade too. So I know he's a guy the Cowboys are high on. I also have the Cowboys taking a couple of interior linemen in this draft. Cesar Ruiz. Also can play center or guard out of Michigan.
Nice.
Got him taking him in the second round, JQ's favorite school. And then also Ben Bredesen in the fourth round, a guard also from Michigan as well. So I think they're going to raid the University of Michigan, JQ's favorite school, and to get them some more depth and some more competition in the interior offensive line area. So those are a couple of guys, just to mention, who I had the Cowboys taking in the draft.
Stop putting that foolishness out in the atmosphere. And, you know, yeah, that'd be funny with Zeke being the running back. That'd be a whole lot of trash talking come November, you know, right after Thanksgiving. But, yeah, he was on pace to making himself, you know, a case for, dare I say, you know, Hall of Fame status with the way he was playing center. You know, being first, second team and making the Pro Bowl and just being recognized as not the best center in the league, but, you know, top two or three. So that's a blow. He wasn't himself when he came back. He wasn't as dominating. But I'm with you, Naj. You know, they got to find ways, you know, that you're not going to have the tight end anymore. It works underneath, and Zeke can be a weapon underneath in the passing game, but he's also got to lose a little weight. I know he was running in the sand, but he was also running in some fajitas when he was down there in Mexico. So he's going to have to kind of, you know, trim it back down and get it together. But
enchiladas,
you know,
too.
Yeah, man, he was tripping. Refried beans. Like, he's got to let that go. And go back to being, you know, that guy, that home run threat every time because he was changing the game. Kind of how when Todd Gurley was doing that, it made it a lot easier for Jared Goff. And let's run. So Jared Goff is great. No, he just had Todd Gurley, who was great before that knee caught up to him. So you kind of need Zeke to go back to playing that level. And I'm with you. I think that opens up everything else for that offense and makes Dak a better quarterback.
See, Kelly, you got to stay off of the refried beans, man. That gas slow you down on the field.
Yeah, man. Okay, take your excellent. Yeah.
I got about 11 minutes here. I do want to talk about we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about what pro quarterback do you compare Joe Burrow to. Let JQ get all excited about that if the Bengals keep the pick. And then you want to talk about where do we project Tua as a pro. Then we'll let Rob do the mock draft before we get ready to wrap the show up. So there you go. We'll go around and we'll let Rob, JQ, Naj, and then West Coast kind of wrap it up if you will.
Yeah, when you talk about Joe Burrow, I tell you, an intriguing player that he reminds me of. Believe it or not, I think he reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson. When you look at Russell Wilson in the pocket, his eye stays down the field a lot, and he runs at the right time, and Burrow does the same thing. I mean, I'm not saying he's as athletic as Russell Wilson, but he reminds me a lot of a Russell Wilson. Throwing a deep ball, his arm is not very strong, but he's very accurate with the deep ball, and he keeps his eyes down the field. He's got pocket awareness, and I don't think Russell gets a lot of credit for that, but I think Burrow, in my opinion, his game kind of reminds me of a Russell Wilson type, and I'm sure if he turns out to be is 90% as good as Russell Wilson, I'm sure the Bengals would be thrilled. But he's a guy
he kind of
reminds me of a Russell Wilson type.
I've seen the thing people saying Tom Brady and Joe Montana, and I'm like, you know, he's got that cool about him in that pocket presence. But you hit on the head. He's way more athletic than those two guys are. And he can not only break it to get the first down, but he takes pride in trying to deliver out a little punishment from time to time, too. I was going to go with, and he's not built like him, I was going to go with Steve Young. If you remember, a younger Steve Young in Tampa Bay could do all those things, but he had to run a lot more because his offensive line was trash. But if you let him stay back there and throw, he would. But when he needed to break out, he could break out on you, and he put some moves on you, too. I forgot about that move he put on that boy from Georgia in that championship game. But Lord have mercy, that was just unfair. What he did to him, I guess, in the semis. But I would go with Steve Young with his ability to run and improvise, but still kill you from the pocket.
Yeah, I don't know if he's as fast as Steve Young. Well, Steve Young was fast. That dude would take off and man.
Yeah,
he was shot out of cannon.
Yeah, he's not as fast as Steve Young. Yeah, he wasn't as fast, but I'm fond of his gameplay more, not necessarily match for speed. Yeah, Steve Young was faster.
I will say this. I think he can be as accurate. Steve Young was a very accurate passer, and Burrow, I think, could be just as accurate. So that would be a fair comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Nas, what's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I might be a little more – I don't know, man. I might be a little more safe with Burrow, man. I think some of the comparisons are getting out of control. No knock on him. I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. But I don't know if this is like, okay, let's say you put him in that draft with Luck. Do you have a discussion about him over Luck? No, I don't think he's that kind of prospect. I think he's a good player who needs talented players around him. And I also don't know how much the overwhelming talent that he had at LSU made him look better. Now, the accuracy thing you're talking about, the coolness in the pocket stuff you're talking about, now that transfers. So, you know, those are tools that he's going to bring to the NFL regardless. But Cincinnati's a tough place to win, and I just don't see him as a franchise-saving guy. I see him as a piece, and then you got to add a lot more to it before we talk about competing. But I don't see him as just, you know, once-a-decade quarterback. I just think he's the best one in this class.
Oh. Wow.
I will say this, though. If he came off the same kind of senior year as he did this past year in the same year that Luck was in the draft, I think Burrow's still in the conversation. I don't know if he gets picked over Luck, number one, but I think coming off the kind of season he had, he would definitely still be somewhat in the conversation. When you have a season where you throw 60 touchdown passes, I think he would somewhat be still in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
LSU bias right there.
I'm saying the reason I use Luck is the guy over the past, you know, 10, 20 years who had the highest grade everywhere. Like, everybody in their room had Luck off the charts as far as grade. So I don't see Burrow as that kind of prospect, if that makes sense. So I'm not knocking Burrow on what I'm saying. I'm just saying I don't think there's a quarterback in this draft that walks onto a team and now, okay, you guys are better and got a chance to compete for the playoffs. Now, I don't think there's any quarterback in this draft for that.
I think he is. I think that cool and that confidence that he brings and his ability to bring, you can still tell you can have a whole lot of talented people, but if everybody's only out there playing for themselves, it don't always translate. And you've seen very talented teams lose. So I think he still has that ability to kind of, you know, make the sum of the parts, you know, greater than they would be individually, even though they were really talented at LSU. So I think he has that ability. He can't come in with a bunch of bums and make them look like that talent. No, I'm not saying he's going to be able to do that. But I think he can come in and not be overwhelmed and be able to command the huddle and have guys like, man, when the chips are on the line, can this do it more often than not to lead us down the field and get us points when we need to? I think he inspires that kind of confidence. We've seen him do it at LSU. Does he do it in the pros? For anybody, I would still say time would tell. You got to see him do it against other grown men in the pros before you can really give him super that designation. When I say Steve Young, I'm talking about the way he's playing, right? And not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer. That's not why I made that comparison. I was talking about in terms of his gameplay. But, yeah, he's going to have talent around him. But I think he can bring talent together. And not all quarterbacks, whether they can have a howitzer for an arm, but they can't all do that. So I think that's more where me and Robert may be leaning in terms of we think he can be that guy, but he can't be that guy where he just takes, you know, anybody off the street and says, I'm so good, I can make you famous. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think another thing we got to remember about Joe Burrow, too, and I think this might be his number one ingredient, and I've mentioned it on the show quite a few times, leadership. And I don't know if a lot of people know this about this past LSU football team, but, you know, the NCAA only allows teams to have a certain number of authorized practices, right?
Mm-hmm.
But NCAA has no control of the players practicing, you know, outside on their own. Joe Burrow and his past LSU football team, Ed Orgeron, came in one day and was trying to schedule practices, and he walked in, and the team was practicing on their own. And that was Joe Burrow's lead. Joe Burrow led that. And he's got that kind of leadership ability, and that had a lot to do with LSU winning the national championship last year. And I don't think a lot of people know that, but, you know, Joe Burrow had that kind of leadership to be able to put that team together and actually had some practices together on their own without coaches. And so that kind of impact, and obviously he's a fifth-year senior, so he's a mature guy, right? But I think eventually that carries over into the National Football League, and I think that's going to be his number one ingredient.
Yeah, look, accuracy is more important than arm strength, so he's carrying something that all I'm saying is this. Somebody calls – you got that pick and somebody calls for the first and the second, I think you say no. But if somebody starts talking about these big packages we've seen for quarterbacks over the years, like two firsts or something like that, I think you take that call. So this is not me saying that he's not a good quarterback. I think he can be.
Yeah,
but
no.
I just don't think he's that can't-miss thing where you're like, no, turn the phone off. Like, no, I'm listening.
No, I agree. I agree with you on that one.
No, this is all about – it's all about the city of Cincinnati, and it's about the Cincinnati Ball Club, because they can absolutely get him killed, and that's not going to be good for nobody. And the only comparison I got, if this boy can beat Kyler Murray, and I was impressed with Kyler Murray. I saw him live up there in Seattle when they beat Seattle. Before Seattle played San Francisco. And I was impressed with Kyler Murray. Not knowing what Kyler Murray looked like, he was short. He didn't look like he was going to be a good pro. Wrong. So this Joe Burrow, if he can compare to anything, if he can beat Kyler Murray, you got something.
Hey, man, you're going to get off my city, bro.
Hey, everybody got game pass for free. We done seen that since the O-line this week.
Hey.
No joke.
We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Obviously, we hope that this was some enjoyment for you to take a break from all of the coronavirus talk. Hopefully we brought something to you on tonight that you really enjoy. We would love to hear from you on Facebook and Twitter. Write us, let us know you enjoyed the show. Let us know what you agree with us on. Let us know what you disagree with us on. We would love to hear from you, people. We're going to be back live again on next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you that portion of the show live. So click on the same link tomorrow and Friday. We know y'all have nothing else to do, people. So click on the link, listen to the OT portion. We got mock draft talk. We got more NFL talk. We might even squeeze in a little NBA talk. We got more for you, people. Hey, we know y'all sitting at home doing nothing. Click on the link of the show, people. Good night.
Hey, man, y'all get off my city. We're getting Jonah Williams back this year. Y'all get off us. We're making moves in free agency. We're trying to be better. I get all the criticism because we suck. But, yeah. Hey, appreciate everybody for listening to the show. We will holler at y'all next week.
It's on them.
Say what?
They're going to pick them number one. Don't pick them number one and get them killed. Don't pick them number one and let this man run for his life.
I'm going to tell you like this. I've been quietly impressed with what they've been doing in free agency. I get you. And if you follow what they've been, I know you're not following.
They got Von Bell today.
They got Von Bell today. That's the third secondary member they've got. They got Reader from Houston. Like, they're trying to do some things on defense, which leads me to believe that this is going to be a really offensive heavy draft to try to complement around Joe Burrow. If you see what they're doing, so I give them partial credit so far. They're trying to do something. They're spending some money. We see how they complete the deal with the draft in terms of if they get Burrow and what they do around him in terms of they need offensive line help. They're going to try to address that thing through the draft, getting one more weapon to go with Green and Boyd. And Mixon is not a bad running back if you give him an offensive line, which I just talked about with Zeke Elliott. So I think they're trying to make moves on that, but, you know, we'll see what happens here after the draft.
Yeah.
Well, I did like what Naj said. You know, really, you know, what I got out of that was, you know, let's let the guy get in the league. You know, let's let him, you know, get through preseason and get through his workouts and learn the NFL offenses. And, you know, the good thing about it is he came from the best conference in college. So, you know, that's like a minor league NFL. So, you know, he should be just fine. But I didn't say anything because I didn't know who to compare him to.
Like I said, if he makes it, if he can be,
I think he's going to be one of those guys that gets the players around him or whatever. We're not going to say he's like so-and-so or so-and-so. We're going to say, hey, so-and-so's like him. He's that type of a player.
But here's the other thing. Okay. Here's the other thing. In that division, is he the number four starting quarterback in that division?